This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
One value which does not fit Singapore is the theory that the press is the fourth estate. And in Singapore's experience, because of our volatile racial and religious mix, the American concept of the marketplace of ideas, instead of producing harmonious enlightenment, has from time to time led to riots and bloodshed.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Since early June this year, the folks behind the Freedom Film Fest have been releasing a specially curated Freedom Film playlist every weekend, which they've dubbed the Weekend Watch with Freedom Film Fest, and this is happening on their YouTube channel. So this month, the playlist is dedicated to speaking up about censorship in film, music and arts, and the given theme is Merdekakan Minda Rakyat. And this weekend, you'll be able to catch the film An Online Citizen, which is a documentary about Singapore's alternative news portal, The Online Citizen, and the man behind it, Terry Shi. And joining me to tell us more about this is Dr. Tham Pin Jin, or he's better known PJ Tham, the managing director of online journalism platform and independent media outlet New Narrative, who were the producers of the film. Welcome, PJ. How are you today?
Hello, Juliet. Thanks again for having me on the show once again. Always good to be back on BFM.
Yes, lovely to speak to you again. I mean, we just caught up back in June to chat about New Narrative, of course, and you guys just celebrated your fourth anniversary. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a long and hard slog, but we're very pleased to still be surviving. Unlike, unfortunately, The Online Citizen, which went dark officially as of today.
You have quite a lot in common, actually, with The Online Citizen, or TOC as it's better known. Maybe we can talk about that. I mean, we're going to talk about the film later, but tell us about the news portal itself, The Online Citizen. It's one of Singapore's, or was, I suppose, right? One of Singapore's few independent media outlets.
Yeah, The Online Citizen, you know, actually changed the landscape of the media and, dare I say, of politics and the discourse of politics in Singapore as a whole. It was founded December 2006 by two activists, Andrew Low and Remy Chu Teng Si, who is a human rights lawyer, as a sort of community blogging platform. And it actually took advantage of a lot of the emerging blogging technologies of the internet. And it was really successful at first. But then, of course, the PAP government kept clamping down on it and actually gazetted it as a political organization several years later, especially in response to its spectacularly successful independent reporting of Singapore elections, which to that point in time had been monopolized by the mainstream media. So as such, it went through a lot of peaks and troughs, and a lot of the volunteers and original founders left because of continued government harassment and just making their lives extremely difficult. And of course, it became next to impossible to make a living from running it. So Terry Shi actually became the editor-in-chief in 2015. If I remember correctly, he volunteered in 2011 as a photographer to cover a very controversial attempt to take over Singapore's leading feminist women's rights organization. And so they needed volunteers to go there. So he just volunteered. He's actually trained as a fire safety engineer, no journalism background or photography, photojournalism, none of that. Right. And then a few years later, as the site was again falling apart, he stepped up, volunteered to become the editor in chief. And it's pretty much been a one man show ever since, until today, of course, which, you know, is a tragic loss for independent media in Singapore.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You know, you hosted him last night on a Facebook Live event, and, you know, their license has been suspended, right? And they've been ordered to stop posting on their website and all social media accounts. I had a quick check just now. Everything is gone. Can you tell? I mean, Malaysian listeners might not know, you know, why has this happened?
Well, basically, to boil it down, it's because of bureaucratic harassment and intimidation by the government of Singapore. And the regulatory authority for the internet is called the Infocomm and Media Development Authority, or IMDA. And they enforce all sorts of rules, a very complicated set of rules that buries a lot of these independent sites in a lot of red tape and allows the government to exercise a huge amount of very arbitrary authority over the definitions of what is legal and not legal. So the way the IMDA is spinning it is that basically Terry and TOC won't submit their official declarations about who they're funded by and their sources of income. Why any of that really is their business in the first place, you know, or why the Singapore government tries to regulate the entire internet. I mean, it's a whole separate discussion. But they quibble with and have quibbled for years now with Terry over the exact definitions about his sources of income, to the point where I think Terry has just had enough. And he is just calling this, you know, official harassment and intimidation. The exact trigger is for this instance is whether his subscribers are genuinely subscribers or whether they're actually donors, right? If you listen to the interview I had with him, there's four categories of income: local advertisers, foreign advertisers, donors, and subscribers, and they're all treated differently. And the IMDA is banging on about this whole foreign intervention issue and using that as an excuse and arguing that the subscribers don't receive enough benefits to actually be called subscribers. They should be called donors. And if they're called donors, they should then, I think they can only be local, and Terry has to submit all of their names and NRIC identification numbers, right? National identification numbers. And has to account for every single cent that he receives through this his subscription scheme, right? So, you know, if it's not this, it would have been something else. But basically, that's how a lot of harassment is done in Singapore, through bureaucracy and just grinding you down with all this nonsense, paperwork, exhausting you until the point where you just want to throw up your hands and say, you know, enough is enough. I am not going to comply. Right. Either that or you give up, and then the government can say, we didn't force them to give up. They chose not to comply and not to file, you know, rule of law, blah, blah, blah.
OK, but let's look at the film then, which was made in 2019. Right. And that's called An Online Citizen. And at that time, Singapore had just recently passed the Protection from Online Falsehoods and Manipulation Act, or POFMA, otherwise, I guess, basically known as the fake news law. Right. And that also really impacted the work that you guys do, including the Online Citizen. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, POFMA, you know, actually started several years before that, when the government suddenly started talking about the importance of fake news. And the problem with POFMA and the whole debate was quite clearly the government was more interested in alternative points of view to the government than actual false misinformation campaigns, which were run by, especially by external parties. And so we had been campaigning against POFMA for several years. And when it finally came out, it was everything we feared, because POFMA is extremely arbitrary in how it defines the truth. If I remember correctly, it actually says something like a true statement is a statement which is true, or a false statement is a statement which is false, something like that. You know, so a tautology is in the law. And the law, under the law, who decides if something is true or false? Well, basically, any minister can simply decide if it's true or false and then order a whole range of punitive measures like correction directives or takedown orders. And then when the PAP was selling this law, they said, it will be cheap and fast to appeal against the law. But as the past few years have shown, it has been neither cheap nor fast. And they also said, this law will only be used against facts, clear facts. Shanmugam even said, you know, is this table black or white? Something like that, right? It was very clear. Ong Ye Kung, the then Minister of Education, was very clear about, we're only going to use it sparingly against things which are clearly not true and which actually have threatened to destroy public order. There's a threat of violence, things like that. But half of the users of POFMA have been against opposition politicians, against independent media platforms like TOC and New Narrative. And the way that they've used it has been against interpretations of statements, not against false statements, but, and this was actually upheld in the court of in the High Court, that as long as there is a possible interpretation of a statement which could be false, then the statement itself can be considered false. So, you know, say, as I've said in my videos on the show PJ Thumb, a statement like, for example, a religious statement, you know, like God is, there's only one God, right? Of course, there are plenty of people who would say that's a false statement. A statement like Manchester United is the best football club in the world. Plenty of people would this, you know, say, no, that's not true, yep. Right? But under the way that this law has then been interpreted and enforced means that that statement, because one person, in this case, the minister, says it is, can interpret it as false, therefore the statement is false. Therefore, POFMA can be used against the statement. And even if a majority, 99% of people believe a certain statement to be true, if the minister decides it's false, interprets it as false, it can be considered false and the courts have upheld that. So it actually puts the definition of truth in the hands of ministers, and the way to appeal against it has been incredibly expensive and difficult and time-consuming. And in one case, the Singapore Democratic Party actually had a POFMA used against it and has appealed. And the entire process of appeal, it actually came from, I think it was, they started their appeals process, or the POFMA was levied, I think, January 2020, or maybe it was December 2019. And the process through which they've appealed it, all the way to the Court of Appeal, the judicial review has not yet concluded. And now it's September 2021. And of course, most insidiously, the PAP used POFMA something like a huge number of times during the elections, right? Or to be exact, in case of POFMA, the alternate authority for the ministers used POFMA against the opposition, right? All against the opposition during the general elections last year, never against PAP candidates, only against opposition candidates and independent media. And by the time they appealed, the election was over. So basically, they were able to use this law to brand the opposition politicians as liars. And then by the time the process started and was concluded, the vote had already taken place.
Okay, all right. We'll come back and find out more about that. I'm speaking today to Dr. Thum Ping Jin. He's the Managing Director of New Narrative. New Narrative is, of course, an online journalism platform and independent media outlet. But today we're discussing the film An Online Citizen, which was produced by New Narrative and takes a look at the online organization called The Online Citizen. We'll discuss the film more after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Section from Online Falsehoods and Manipulation Bill.
POFMA is a bit of an omnibus bill in that it can be a lot of things to a lot of people. So if explained in the context of preventing foreign interference or the subversion of elections by foreign actors through the spreading of false news, that is one of the bill's objectives. And that is something that a lot of people, even in the West, might find unobjectionable.
That is why this POFMA legislation is necessary. It is an essential and important addition to our regulatory architecture that introduces a calibrated set of measures to deal with the virulence and virality of online falsehoods.
But POFMA also causes concern for those who believe in the importance of free speech.
The people who run such media must know to get funding is extremely difficult. We don't have people in Singapore, and when you say funding, is of course businessmen, right? People with money, who will put money in such ventures. Basically because of fear that the government will go after them. Whether that fear is true or not, that's a different story. But there is a fear.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and joining me on the line today is Dr. Thumping Jin. He's the managing director of the online journalism platform and independent media outlet New Narrative. And we're discussing a film that New Narrative helped produce, which is called An Online Citizen. And that is about the news portal, The Online Citizen, which is in Singapore, which unfortunately has just recently been suspended. PJ was telling us more about that earlier. So we're talking about the film, of course, that was made in 2019. Can we talk a little bit about the film's, I guess, protagonist, Terry, right? He starts off, the film by saying that in Singapore, I would say that you have to be mad to go against the government. I think you, of course, are familiar with that sort of madness. But for Terry, how did all of this come to impact his work? Like, POFMA and all of these things that you were just talking about, did that come to impact the online citizen's work as well?
Oh, definitely. Terry, I think, has been hit with more POFMAs than anyone else. And if you watch the interview I did with him on Wednesday night, the sheer amount of lawsuits, both civil and criminal, the sheer amount of damages and the jail times, the fines that he faces, it cumulatively, massive, massive number. And of course, he still has 5 POFMA appeals pending. So he's currently drowned under this whole, stack of civil and criminal lawsuits.
Gosh. And there's a new proposed law coming up, right? A Foreign Intervention Countermeasures Bill, which is basically an anti-foreign interference law. Am I correct that you guys also discussed that on Wednesday night?
Yes.
How is that going to impact? TOC has been suspended, but, how about the work that you guys do over at New Narrative?
See, the problem with this law, right, which we're calling FICA, Foreign Interventions Countermeasures Act, is that it is incredibly, incredibly arbitrary. And people tend to think of it as being a lot like POFMA. But actually, Terry made a good point that it's more an analog of the Internal Security Act, which of course Malaysians are also familiar with.
Yeah.
Because while it uses the mechanisms of POFMA, it's entirely as arbitrary and can deprive people of life and liberty and resources the same way that the Internal Security Act worked. Because, and I should preface here, we're still studying the law because it's 249 pages and folds in a bunch of other laws. But the main thing is that a minister, purely because they are of the opinion that someone is a foreign agent and suspects that someone is an organization is a foreign agent or exercising influence on behalf of a foreign organization, can order a massive range of punitive measures and, what is more, punish people purely on that suspicion. And I think there's someone in the law, there's something like 14 years in jail or $100,000 fine. And then in order to appeal, unlike, say, POFMA, we actually had got to go to court. Again, it's more like the ISA, where you go to a secret tribunal of which only one person has to be a judge. And this tribunal is, quote, appointed by the president on the advice of the cabinet, which in Singapore, there's a clear precedent that the president cannot go against the advice of the cabinet. So it's basically appointed by politicians to monitor each other. So, and this is a non-bailable offense. You just get held, right? So basically, it is like the ISA, except in this case, the justification is that, you're an agent of foreign influence. But the definition of working for or having been influenced by or on behalf of a foreign influence is so broad that any relationship with a foreigner can be construed as being acting on behalf of foreign influence. And then the other clauses about publishing, communications, those, again, are so broad that they include virtually every single way of communicating information, whether it's the old school broadcast, whether it's the internet, whether it's going out in the street and shouting it out loud. That could, the last clause, which actually you know, is again says covers all the other forms of possible communication, right? Means that any sort of communication can be punished. So this law is just utterly, utterly insane. It's utterly bonkers. It overturns all sorts of legal precedents on its head. It completely suspends the fair due process of the law. It presumes you're guilty without your ability to show in a court of law whether you're innocent. Right. So we have descended. Once this law passes, there will be no more pretense. We will be completely 100% dictatorial, authoritarian, no rule of law.
I remember on Wednesday, you guys saying that it's not even like we're under, it's worse than when we were under colonial rule. I think Terry was saying it's like back to the dynasties.
Yes, because at least the colonial, the British authorities respected the spirit of the law and the independence of the courts and actually lost cases from time to time, especially most famously for sedition against the Fajar, the publishers of Fajar in 54, I think it was. So the British respected the rule of law, right? They respected the spirit of the law and were willing to be constrained by it. The PAP simply changed the law so that they are not constrained by it. And with this law, I can't see any other barriers or boundaries. If a minister wanted to launch a coup and ordered the detention of all of the other ministers and the rest of parliament, this law makes it entirely legal. Because all this minister would have to say is, I suspect that they are working on behalf of a foreign power. And this law makes it entirely possible.
And you don't need to show any sort of proof at all, like anything to back up that statement when you make that sort of charge.
No, the law specifically says the minister just has to suspect. Or be in the opinion of or have reason to believe. What do those words mean?
I don't know. Talk about arbitrary.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that has just recently, it was just on Monday, right, that it was tabled. So nothing is set in stone as yet, I suppose, right?
Well, the PAP has an overwhelming majority in Parliament. And okay, it almost always passes the bills in the next sitting. So almost certainly in the first or second week of October, this bill will become law.
Okay. All right. I guess we'll talk to you more about that then. But let's go back to an online citizen, which of course, you know, was trying its best to give alternate views of, you know, the landscape in Singapore, the political landscape. It wanted to be that that fourth estate as such, right? You know, you guys, of course, as I mentioned, were the producers of the film, right? What was your intention when you wanted to make this film from a new narrative point of view?
Well, new narrative is here. To one of our core missions is to really provide a platform for the people of Southeast Asia to speak for themselves. And in trying to create this film, we wanted to really highlight a platform which really sincerely tried to speak for Singaporeans and also be a place where Singaporeans could actually reach out to as an independent media, as a check and balance of you know, whatever limited amount it could be to try and hold the government and those of power accountable. So when the opportunity to create this film came up, we jumped at it. And I think we were also, because Terry and indeed, I think most activists in Singapore are very nervous about talking and speaking frankly. And it's taken a lot for us to slowly learn to trust each other because, you know, the PAP government's constantly attacking us, harassing us, trying to divide us, sending spies, you know, and trying to play us against each other and all of that. So there was a lot of trust between Terry and I, and still is, right? And we're always there for each other. Doesn't mean we always agree with what each other does or publishes, but we stand up for each other. So with an online citizen, I also wanted to highlight the bravery of a man who's stood up almost alone at times against this incredibly powerful, you know, one of the richest, most powerful political parties and state machineries in the whole world. And he's still there and he's still fighting after so many years. He had been editor-in-chief 4 years by that point, and they tried all sorts of tactics against him, and he still was there defiant. The rock, right, that this massive tsunami was breaking on. And I think it's really important, especially as a historian, to document these things, because otherwise they'll be forgotten. So I think that was all the reasons why we wanted to do it.
Okay. And it was really, I mean, it was a really well done film. I mean, it's short. It's only about 25, I think, to half half an hour or so. And besides Terry, of course, the film features TOC co-founder Remy Chu, who you mentioned earlier, but also former Internal Security Act detainee Teo So Lang. And then there was also the former Today and newspaper editor PN Balji, right? I mean, what sort of, can you just briefly tell people, you know, what sort of insights they provided in the film?
Well, in general, they provided a lot of background and history about just how dangerous it's been to dissent in Singapore. So Lang, of course, was detained for 2 years under the ISA back in the 80s. Tengsi talked about the early days and the founding and how difficult it was, especially once the government cottoned on to what they were doing and cracked down, and how quickly all this enthusiasm and energy was dissipated and fear set in, and how it really all fell apart very quickly. And then Balji, of course, talked about the media and how difficult it is, next to impossible, to have independent media in Singapore, especially independent media which is genuinely trying to report on really important socio-political issues and providing an alternative voice to the government.
Yeah. And the film, you know, was directed by Callum Stewart. And, you know, I was just reading a previous interview where he said that he hoped people who watch the documentary will ask why Singapore needs a guy like Terry, right? What is your answer to that, PJ? Why do we need PJs and Terrys, you know, of the world in this so picture-perfect Singapore? Why are you guys so ungrateful, you know?
Well, you see, the thing is, Singapore may seem perfect, right? And I've had this conversation so many times. People think Singapore is perfect, but it isn't. Nowhere is perfect. And I think we can always be better. And we just want to contribute to our society to help make it better by pointing out the problems. You know, as someone who runs a company, what I want is people who can tell me, hey, this is going wrong, so it can be fixed. That's how you get better. And I think if Singapore were a well-run state, right, and it isn't, I mean, there's a lot of problems that people don't realize precisely because there isn't an independent media pointing out those problems, right? But even if it were a well-run state, people would be surfacing all these problems to the people in power so that they can be fixed, so that we can make a better state, so that we could fulfill the Singapore pledge, right? To build a better society based on justice and equality, right? And in order to do that, you need people who are willing to speak up about the problems. And that's what a free and independent media does. And we just don't have that. And with TOC now going dark, and with, you know, New Narrative and all the struggles we've had in Singapore, there's just so many problems in Singapore that we're not really conscious about, even in Singapore, let alone outside of it. One of it is, for example, our extremely high poverty rate, right? Independent studies of Singapore have put our poverty rate as high as 30 or 40%. Because of the extremely high cost of living. So there is an absolute poverty rate, but there's also a functional poverty rate where people don't earn enough to service all the debts that you're saddled onto, you're saddled with in Singapore, including the high cost of housing, the high cost of living, the high cost of owning a car, and so on and so forth, the ever increasing cost of healthcare, you know. So we may have a high dollar value for our income, but the expenses are extremely high as well. So functionally, poverty in Singapore is very, very high. And you can't see this or learn about this because the mainstream media doesn't cover it.
They're not allowed to, I suppose,
yes,
right?
Yes, they're not allowed to.
Yeah. And so these are the things that the Online Citizen did bring up, right? And now, unfortunately, as you said, it's gone dark. And you know, as a historian, you know, you mentioned that you wanted Terry's story to be told through this film and, you know, for people not to forget it. But why is an online media like TOC so important, you know, as especially as an archive?
Well, if you think about, you know, 50, 60 years from now, if all we have is the mainstream media, the image that we're going to get of Singapore is going to be extremely, extremely flawed, right? And so it's really important that we have all these perspectives. This actually emerged, it's a subfield of history called subaltern studies, which emerged out of India, which shows how official sources and their interpretations are reflective of a very narrow elite perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and very often when you see in official sources, oh, there was a riot here, and then the official source will say, oh, yeah, you know, there's not enough security. Or they'll say, oh, the people, they're uneducated or illiterate, or they only know how to riot, they're irresponsible. Or they'll say, and I think we can all identify this one, oh, it was the communists trying to manipulate things. But you talk to the people and they're like, yeah, we didn't have enough bread. We didn't have enough food. And then the officials came and they took away what bread and food we have for themselves. And they levied high taxes. And what choice do we have? Right. And so you see very different points of view in these different sources. And for a historian, it's absolutely critical to see these different sources, have these different perspectives. And it's not to say you agree or endorse anything that these different perspectives do. But in order to understand, genuinely understand where we came from and where we are and where we're going, you need to understand as many different perspectives as possible.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, that's also why you're trying to work now, because as you mentioned, you know, Online Citizen can't be accessed now, but you are trying to look for an archive for it, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
As many as possible. It's really important to diversify the places where it's held so that future historians, or indeed, if you're someone today just trying to understand Singapore today, it is not possible without looking at TOC.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, even I trying to do my research, I was really impeded because there was no Online Citizen. I couldn't even access it, unfortunately. But okay, just going back to the film, for anyone who's coming to it for the first time, what do you hope that they will take away from it?
I'd like them to be inspired by someone like Terry. Because Terry, and as I mentioned earlier, no journalistic training whatsoever. All he did was step up as a volunteer. And next thing he knows, a few years later, he's running the whole site. And he, in spite of all the restrictions, the limitations, the harassment, just the sheer grinding down, right? He's had to make so many sacrifices. He's destroyed his life. You know, he's also been interviewed and talked about how sort of big milestones in his life has passed him by, relationships. You know, he doesn't think he'll ever be able to start a family and, you know, get married, settle down, have his own place and all these things, right? Because he just, everything he has gone into the Online Citizen. But because of him, Singapore is better than it would have been otherwise. I don't think there's any doubt. He's brought to light so many important cases. People have had their lives changed because they could go to TOC and he would bring attention to it, and this would embarrass the government into doing something. So he's made such a huge difference despite having nothing. He English isn't even his first language.
Yeah.
TOC is an English language site, but he speaks Chinese as his first language. So he's very open about the poor quality of his writing and editing. You know, so if Terry can do this, I think we should be very inspired by this. And we should all believe that we can make a difference. And how much more so if we just work together.
Okay. All right. And, you know, as you mentioned, he has several lawsuits against him. And I do understand he's currently crowdfunding. How can folks help?
Yeah. So recently, a year or two ago, Terry reported on the dispute that the Prime Minister had with his siblings, where they accused PM Lee of abuse of power. And rather than sue his siblings, PM Lee sued the man who factually reported that the siblings had said that the PM had abused his power, which is ridiculous. So recently, the court awarded PM Lee $210,000 in damages, which in ringgit, I think is 630,000 ringgit.
Yeah.
And Terry is crowdfunding, and I think he's already passed 90% of the way to pay off the damages. So if you want to help, go to facebook.com/TerryXYC and all the details through which you can donate are listed on his Facebook page.
Okay, all right. And, you know, as I said earlier, it is New Narrative's fourth anniversary. I know it's not easy for you. You still can't even draw a salary because it's just been so difficult to keep it independent, isn't it? To keep New Narrative independent. How can folks support the work that New Narrative does?
Please join New Narrative as a member, right? With us, it's very straightforward. Join New Narrative as a member. It's only $52 a year. For an annual membership. And even if you can't afford one, you can have another member sponsor your membership for you. So just write in to sponsorship@newnarrative.com. And what we do is members can join at an annual rate above $52, and all the money above the basic rate goes to sponsoring other members. New Narrative believes very strongly in collective action, that together, across Southeast Asia, we are stronger if we work together. And so really, whether you can or cannot afford to be a member, if you'd like to be part of our movement for a better Southeast Asia, just join as a member. And of course, if you want to donate, you can also go to newnarrative.com/donate and we'll happily take anything, any little sum of money you can afford is very gratefully received.
Okay, yes. And your narrative is wonderful. You know, you cover so many different topics that we don't find in mainstream media. You know, very well thought out, very, you know, thoughtful pieces come out from your narrative. And not just articles, you're also exploring various different media as well. So there's a lot there. And you've got your talk show as well. You've got your own video.
Thank you. Yeah.
So there's so much, you know. So just head to newnarrative.com. That's newnarrative.com. Follow them on social media and find out how you can support. And if you'd like to watch an online citizen, just head to the Freedom Film Fest YouTube page. That film is going to be re-released this weekend. Thank you so much, PJ, for joining me today.
And thank you, Juliet. BFM does really great, important work as well. And I'm very glad that you're here and that, you know, you do what you do. So, collectively, I think the media, we need to stick together and work together as well, because we perform a really important function. So thank you.
Thank you for saying that, PJ. That, yeah, it's not easy, huh? Yeah, we both got
yeah.
I've been speaking to Dr. Tham Ping Jin, the Managing Director of New Narrative, and we were talking about the film An Online Citizen. If you missed any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, just download the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Before my entry into army, I was a staunch PAP supporter. In fact, I often argue with people, even my grandfather, when they criticize the establishment. People are saying, like, why are you so ungrateful? It's like, because it's because the People Action Party that Singapore is it today. That's my belief back then. But after entering army, all that perception changed. Anyone who watched the movie Matrix, it is the same concept. It's whether you want to take the blue pill or the red pill. You can choose to stay in your fantasy land, your wonderland. But the thing is, one day reality will catch up to you. It's either you choose to open your eyes and see there's a world outside of what the media is painting to you, or you take an active role and seeing whether or not what the others has been saying so far has certain backing to it. And this is where independent media exists in order to help them to reach out to more individuals, and for readers who want to know more, to see more and read more. And I think I'll just end with it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.